Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help you get through the events of the week. That's all we're trying. Just trying to get through at this point. We've got. So you look out at the world and you wonder, how big of a deal is my own personal situation? You got floods in Libya, 10,000 people dead, more. Earthquake in Morocco, at least 3,000 people dead. North Africa's just, it's not a good week to be in North Africa. For those of you who matriculated in the government schools, Morocco and Libya are in North Africa. So it's rough. You got the presidents being impeached. Like, that's big news anymore. We do that every Thursday now. We're on the doorstep of World War III, and here we are at the Weekly Worldview. And the first thing we want to do is a hat tip to some brave parents from the Good Religion File, Christian groups. Christian groups have taken to the streets in protest of the Department of Education approving books that the parents have claimed are laced with Marxist and communist indoctrination. That's right. Christian organizations, parents taking to the streets opposing these textbooks that parents claim contain sexual and gender ideology content. And the parents are outraged. At least 12,000 people attended. And they burned the books. They burned the books in the streets. That's right. They piled up boxes of the new textbooks. New textbooks were handed out by the education department. And the books were given to the local schools for free. For free. Uh-huh. And the president claims that the parents are misinformed and manipulated because they believe that the virus of communism is baked into the new textbooks being offered to the schools by the government for free. The president says the parents are mistaken. Now, this protest took place in Chiapas State in Mexico because it didn't take place in America, because in America, the parents were smoking dope and watching football games. For the most part. At least the parents sending their kids into the government schools. But down in Mexico, at least 12,000 people, that's probably about all we've got left. A remnant. How many people are in Mexico? 40 million? 60 million? 100 million people? 12,000 show up and they want to burn the free books that the communist perverts are giving away at the government schools. Well, we'll take it. We'll take it, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, did I mention the books are free? The books are free for the kids. Who would complain about that? Well, only the Christians. Only the Christians will complain. Because nobody else realizes that the president is a child-molesting communist. And that's just in Mexico. And that's just for starters. The president, almost everywhere, is a child-molesting communist. Except there's a few, I'm sure there's a few exceptions, but fewer and fewer every day. So a hat tip to the evangelical Christians, they're called, down there in Mexico, who have stood up against the communist president, López Obrador, giving his free commie dirty books into the public schools. And that's reason number 667, if you're in Mexico, to get your kids out of the Mexican government schools. That's that reason number 667. That's right. Meanwhile, while the Christians in Mexico are burning the communist dirty books that they're trying to shove into the government schools, up here in America, there's a shortage of ADHD medications that's stressing families out, including Christian families who send their kids into the government schools. Well, they drug them first, you know, to take the edge off and then they send them into the government schools. There's been a shortage of Adderall in the United States since last fall. That's according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which is the department in the government in charge of administering drugs to children, teenagers especially. Some mind-altering drugs into the teenage boys especially. That's the purview of the Food and Drug Administration. Administration, that's right. 11 drug makers make Adderall. Why? Because there's a lot of money in Adderall. 11 drug makers make it, and they've been interviewed by the folks at, let's see, this is from CNN, who should know something about being drug-addled, for crying out loud. One of their reporters was arrested with Adderall in the park. No, it wasn't Adderall. It's something like Adderall in the park. You don't even want to know the rest of that story. The guy's a creep. He's still on the air with CNN. Anyway, the CNN talked to the 11 drug makers with whom it's like their connections there. And they say they don't foresee an end of the shortage of the of speed for the kids until at least December. And maybe longer if people don't stop hoarding the things. So the young people have had difficulties, according to CNN, young people have had difficulties getting their medications. I'm sorry, that's not CNN. That's according to Dr. Warren Ang, a professor of psychiatry at Columbia Medical Center. So she's a, so first of all, he's a professor of psychology. That's strike one. Second, he's at Columbia. That's strike two. Let's see what this guy has to say. He says, without medication, many children will fail in their classes and be held back. Yeah, they'll have trouble. Unquote. That's according to Professor Ang. That's strike three, Professor, that the kid can't make it through school without taking his speed. I'm afraid I disagree. The kids will have trouble. Yeah. Especially those who've been, that they've been made dependent on the drugs that you're dealing, Professor Ang. Yeah, strike three. Mm-hmm. So the professor here and his psycho cult out at Columbia, they're perfectly aware of the problem with running out of drugs when you've got a country full of drug addicts. They're acutely sensitive to it. And CNN reports it quite accurately. Let's see. What else does the good doctor say about giving speed to teenagers? Is this still here? Yeah, Professor Ang says, I've seen kids who just want to drop out of school. They're just so sad and slow. And then they get on the speed and suddenly they make the honor roll. Instead of being seen as lazy, they envision themselves really utilizing all of their mental and psychological intellectual abilities much more, much, much more, all the time, I'm telling you. I mean, and as long as you don't run out, you know. So anyway, I think Professor Ang is a drug dealer, is what I think he is. And yeah, I mean, a kid who's relatively lazy and slow, and you give him some speed, and suddenly he can envision himself doing all kinds of things, taking his stereo apart until 3 o'clock in the morning, passing his exams and all of that stuff. All right, so there's a tale of two cities, Chiapas, where the Christians are burning the books, and Anytown, USA, where the parents are fretting where they're going to get their kids their Adderall so that they can shove them into the government schools to be brainwashed and turned into communist homosexual deviants. Tale of two cities. Meanwhile, from there now, let's check in with the aliens file, where you may have read that mummified alien corpses were brought in front of Congress. That's right, that was the headline. Congress, mummified aliens, corpses, Congress. Well, it turns out this was in Mexico, too, and the alien specimens were presented last Tuesday at Mexico's first public congressional hearing on unidentified anomalous phenomenon. That's right. That's what we used to call UFOs. We now call them UAPs, just like we used to call it coronavirus, but then we switched it to COVID. That's when you should have ducked and realized something bad was coming. So something's going on with the UAPs. It's not UFOs anymore. It's UAPs. And they basically got the headline up this past week so that all the kids could see it in their Facebook feed and their Instagram feed, that alien corpses were before Congress. That's all the kids know. Between hits of Adderall and video games, they just noticed that, yep, the Congress has saw aliens this past week. And that was the whole purpose of the story, was just to get it up there on the feed long enough for the drug-addled children who are destined to rule the world to take in the fact that Congress has now seen aliens. They don't look into the story and realize that the two mummified bodies, who ancient alien researchers said were not from Earth. Well, this is according to UFO researcher, ancient alien theorists, right? Isn't it ancient alien theorists? Sorry. Ancient alien theorists say that they're not from the Earth. And they drug them in front of the Mexican Congress and showed pictures. And this one particular fellow, Jaime Mawson, he's a famous ancient alien theorist. And ABC News 7 reports that all of this hullabaloo kicked up quite a social media fervor. Quite a social media fervor, which is about all it takes anymore to alter the perception of a significant plurality of the population under 40, who are destined to rule the world and crash it into a wall. So they kicked up their social media fervor with the bodies that, by the way, these allegedly mummified aliens date back to 2017. They were allegedly pulled out of the Peruvian desert in an area known for gigantic enigmatic figures scraped into the earth and seen only from bird's eye view. And the formations have captured the imaginations of many, which is why there's all the alien shows on TV now, is because it's captured the imaginations of many. But apparently not yet enough to distract from the real world, at least not quite yet. I mean, the under 40 crowd that was raised on Adderall and video games, they practically think that the aliens have been elected to Congress, having read the headline. But apparently there are still enough adults that the whole alien thing hasn't quite taken off yet. It's kind of like the monkeypox, just didn't quite get the traction that they'd... Could it be that they overplayed their hands with the whole COVID hysteria, and that there's enough, I mean, even relatively stupid people who are like, wait a second, I got to stop. I got to stop and think for a minute. Hold on a second. Let me turn off the football game for 5 minutes and think about real life. Could be. I'm just saying it could be. Case in point, one more from the aliens file. A report from a long-awaited report, long-awaited from NASA's UFO study team. That's right. Now, and of course, it's not an UFO study team. It's a UAP study team now. But the folks over at space.com haven't gotten the memo. They're still calling them UFOs. And according to the long-awaited report from NASA, experts found no signs of extraterrestrials. And so in response, the space agency says it's going to appoint a new chief to study the phenomena, because the old chief didn't find any evidence of extraterrestrials. That's right. In fact, we have a quote here from Administrator Bill. He's at NASA and he's an administrator. Hey, Bill, what do you do? I'm an administrator. Where? At NASA. Oh, what does that mean? I don't know. I make $90,000 a year to administer at NASA. I'm Bill. How you doing? So they asked Bill, the folks at space.com, asked Bill about the sad fact that there was no signs of extraterrestrials in all the investigations of all the UAP and UFO sightings that have been making the news for the past year. You know, all the videos you've seen. Right, with the bean and the ball and the ping pong and the triangles zipping and popping and zipping across the screen. He got down to the bottom of it with Administrator Bill, and he said there's no evidence. But what's the deal, Bill? said NASA.com, to which Bill replied, the top takeaway is there's a lot more to learn. Uh-huh, that's right. NASA did not find any evidence that any of the UFOs or UAPs have an extraterrestrial origin. But, said Bill, hold on to your seat. Bill said, but, said Bill, we don't know what these UAP are. And that's the key takeaway, folks. We don't know what the UAP are. And that's why the first letter in the acronym stands for unidentified. It's the Weekly Worldview. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. I don't want to confuse matters. I did not just come up with another acronym, UAPR. I said, we don't know what the UAPR. UAPR is not a new acronym. It's we don't know what the UAPR. Just, I don't want to confuse anyone who may be still waiting in the wings for the aliens. So I'm sure there are some out there who... it's unidentified. I forget what UAP stands for. Hold on, I don't want to confuse the. Should I even bother? It's unidentified all points phenomenon or something like that. Unidentified aerial phenomenon. Although they're also looking for aliens underwater now, just because they haven't managed to find any. It's up in the sky, and so they're looking under the water. So from there, we go to the reason number, what number am I up to? 2030, 2040, I think. Reason number 2040 to get or keep your kids out of the government schools is the whole thing, focuses on Coach Joe Kennedy out in Bremerton. School district, Bremerton Unified School District. Why do they use the word unified? Because they're communists. That's why. Bremerton Unified School District is a government school district in the leftist communist state of Washington. You remember Coach Joe Kennedy. He used to go out and he used to pray. Let's see, where did he pray? He prayed on the football field in front of God and everybody as if he had no shame. He would kneel down and pray at the end of the game or the beginning of the game, the middle of the game. At some point, he prayed in front of other people, and that offended everyone at Bremerton High, at least in the administration and amongst the deviants and the perverts and the child molesters running the schools. And so they either fired him or harassed him or they made him feel bad in some way, and it ended up in the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled that the school had to be nice to Coach Joe Kennedy again. They had to give him his job back and be nice to him. And so he won. It was a victory. All of the pro-family industry and religious liberty industry hacks sold it all as a victory and sent out their fundraising letters and said, look, we coach Joe. They have to hire him back and be nice to him. And they have to let him pray in front of everybody there on the football field. It's a victory. So, and all the hapless parents drugging their children, sending them into the government schools, thought, well, look, we won, that we're winning. Well, reality bit this past week. After the enormous Supreme Court victory, Coach Joe Kennedy submitted his letter of resignation to the Bremerton School District in Washington State week before last. Why? He says, quote, they, meaning the Bremerton School District, they've done everything they can do to make me feel unwelcome. So despite the fact that he spiked the ball right in their face and made them rehire him and be nice to him, they're not being nice. And so he's going to resign, which is what I had encouraged him to do, I think. I'm pretty sure if you go back and listen, I said that what he really needs to do is to resign and say, you know what? That victory I had at the Supreme Court, that has motivated me to go out and tell people to get their kids out of the government schools. And so in a roundabout way, Coach Joe ends up doing the right thing, but it's only because they hurt his feelings and they weren't nice to him. So although we hope he becomes a crusader against the government schools. If anyone can put me in touch with Coach Joe, please do so. And I would be happy to help him in any way I can. Let's see. Coach Joe says that those prayer, he says, quote, those prayers I prayed on the 50-yard line were never for attention, he said. They were never for attention. And furthermore, they were never to proselytize impressionable minors. At which point you say, well, Coach Joe, what's the point of kneeling down and praying in front of a large group of people if you're not intending to proselytize them? Because actually, that's what you're supposed to be doing, Joe, is proselytize. In fact, the time you want to proselytize is when kids are impressionable young people. That's the time to proselytize them, Joe. You were doing the right thing. But Joe just apologized, claims he was not proselytizing by praying in public, which I don't know what's the other reason you pray in public if it's not to proselytize. So someone would come over and say, what are you doing? Why are you on your knees with your eyes closed, mumbling? And you could say, well, I'm praying to God because I believe in God. And then you could tell them about the gospel. Isn't that the whole point, Joe? Or what was the point, Joe? Anyway, I have a feeling Joe is not going to be a crusader for the gospel against the government schools and helping parents get out because, maybe if I could get a hold of Joe, but I have a lot going on, but if Joe calls me, I'd be happy to help. So now that was in Bremerton, Washington. Let's go down to Texas for a bit of good news from the Exodus file. Students are withdrawing from the Texas public schools in record numbers as more families are homeschooling. That's right. Nearly 30,000 kids withdrew from the government schools to homeschool during the 2021 to 22 school year. Those are in the key demographic of 7th to 12th grade. That's when most of the minds are corrupted permanently, is somewhere between 7th and 12th grade. If I remember correctly, let me think. 7th, yep. It was right around 7th grade. It was right around 7th grade that I and all of my friends who were matriculating in the government schools, it was about 7th grade we started to drop like flies, spiritually speaking. And so 30,000 a year are dropping out, not dropping out. They're going to homeschool, I guess. And even if they were dropping out and moving into cardboard boxes, it would be better than going to the government schools. But apparently they're homeschooling, according to the Texas Homeschool Coalition. And they say that during the peak of the COVID hysteria, there were just under 30,000 kids exiting the government schools 2020, 2021. But now that number is even higher and it's staying there. Now, prior to the lockdowns, about 20,000 students were dropping out of the Texas government schools every year like clockwork. So that was the exodus rate before the hysteria. Now it's up to 30,000. That's about a 30% increase for those of you who matriculated in the Texas government schools and otherwise. And it's good news. So that means in the last 10 years, 300,000 kids, 200 to 300,000 kids have dropped out of the Texas schools. And that's just Texas. And that's good news. So when we think that there's you look at the younger generation and sometimes it can be a bit disheartening and you think there's no hope. There is hope. Hundreds of thousands of kids are being shielded from the brainwashing and the corruption of the government schools. And I'd say a good 3 to 5% of those are ending up being raised by real Christians. At least 3 to 5% of 300,000, let's say that's thousands and thousands, which that's pretty much all we need to make a good showing of it in the world, as long as we're out there preaching the gospel, which is the important part, which is what we do here at the Weekly Worldview, by the way. What is the gospel, you might ask? I asked a friend, did I already say this on the air? I might have said this on the air, but if I did, it bears repeating. I asked a friend, have I ever preached the gospel to you? And he said, I'm not sure what that means. And so I knew right then, well, obviously I haven't preached the gospel to the guy. He doesn't even know what that means. I said, you're a sinner, man. You're a sinner and you're going to die. But God loves you and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to save you from death. And Jesus offers to save you if you'll just believe. Just believe that he did what he said he would do. He came and he died and he rose again. If you'll just believe, you'll be saved from death. And he said, I wish I could believe that, but I can't. He said, I'm too analytical. And I said, well, at least I've told you. And so now I'll just pray that some event comes up in your life that makes you seriously consider it. You know, like some crisis or just something. All I can do is tell you. I've told you. And so now I just hope you'll believe at some point. He said, I hope I do too. I said, well, it's... I don't know what to say beyond that. If you hope you do and you still don't, maybe you don't hope you do. That's, but you know, all we can do is preach the gospel and try to live in a way that people actually look at us and say, there's something different about that guy. There's something different about that family over there. What's up with them? All right, so there you go. There's the gospel right there. So if you haven't preached the gospel to someone lately, go out and do it. And if you need help, just clip that out of the show and send that to them. And then they will have heard the gospel with you participating, which is important. So from here, now let's go into the widespread file. Widespread, I said. That's right. Now, you remember... Just a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, they were so incredibly terrified of an epidemic in the government schools that they literally locked all the schools, shut them down, and locked all the kids out and made them stay home. Remember that? I remember that. Fast forward 3 years, suddenly concerns, according to AND Magazine at Substack, suddenly concerns about very real diseases. Let me start over with that, all right? Suddenly, concerns about very real diseases at school are being shoved aside. Children of illegal immigrants are being pushed into public schools at a breakneck pace without even a pretense of determining their health status. The CDC does not track disease by immigration status because that would be mean. And so in New York City, this is just New York City, 21,000 migrant children showed up for the first day of class this school year. And according to New York City policy, they were all admitted without any kind of check on what kind of diseases they might give the other kids. Forget COVID. COVID's not going to hurt a third grader, but there's all kinds of diseases that will. Diseases that we haven't seen in this country in a generation or two or three are suddenly showing up for the first day of class in New York City. And what are all the COVID hysterics who masked up and social distanced 3 years ago? They're just letting them in. Because it was all fake, phony, fake. That's why. All of their concern for your health and your well-being, it was fake. It was phony. It was fake. They could have cared less. Anyway, so the first day of school, none of the illegals were required to show any health records. Any health, forget just vaccination, right? Any health records at all. I mean, we have more rules around adopting a dog or a cat than getting a kid into the public schools on day one if they're an illegal, for crying out loud. The writers at AND Magazine have to put out the perfunctory statement that this is not a race thing or an ethnic thing. We're not meaning to be mean to all the kids that are coming into the public school. Some of them are from Romania and Ukraine, and they're white as the driven snow, and we still don't know what diseases they have. So they want you to know that this is not a race thing. It's not an ethnic thing. And they want you to know this is not a conspiracy theory. That's right. The fact is, 21,000 migrant kids actually showed up for school in New York, and you can learn that from the mainstream media because they're so happy about it. They're reporting it as if it's a victory for the non-mean people who love all the little brown kids. And all right, we'll let in some of the white kids since they're from Ukraine. Not that we like white kids. We like brown kids, but... Anyway, they're reporting on it because it's so nice and wonderful and flowery and magical and mystical and happy. But AND Magazine reminds us that the people flooding in are coming from areas with high levels of many diseases that are virtually unknown in America. And that's how kids get sick. when they come up against a disease that they haven't really built up an immunity for, because that disease was virtually annihilated from America 40 years ago. But now it comes in from Guatemala and Ecuador and Ukraine and Belarus and Tajikistan, China. All right, so there you have it. From the, that was the widespread file. We go, come there to the politics file. Do we want to go into the politics file right now? Well, before I go into the politics file, let me go into the politics file, where the Attorney General of Texas, Greg Paxton, is that his name? I don't even know his first name. Paxton. I don't even want to know his first name. He was the darling of the conservative media for the last few weeks because he's been on trial being impeached in Texas by a bunch of socialist, Democrat, communists, and a bunch of Republicans, by the way, in the Texas legislature. He was acquitted on all 16 counts, and the alternative right-wing media all were giving each other high fives and back slaps because Texas AG Paxton was acquitted on all 16 articles of impeachment. One of the articles was about a job he allegedly had done for a woman with whom he was having an extramarital affair. Now, he didn't deny that. He admitted to that. But he was not being impeached by that. So he was acquitted of everything except the affair, for which he was not impeached, but for which he should have been impeached. His wife, by the way, is a sitting senator. And she had to sit and watch the whole thing. And so since she's an elected senator, she is apparently incapable of any shame, as is Attorney General Paxton and anyone else holding elective office in Texas or anywhere else. So the guy should have been impeached and drummed and run out of town on a rail for having an extramarital affair. But instead, he's the darling of the right. And it's a shame. And folks, a nation that legalizes adultery cannot stand. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us. Greg Paxton, AG. Just shameful that he is now. So this is what's happened, is that conservatism has collapsed into grotesque immorality. In that everyone glad hands the guy who openly cheated on his wife in front of God and everybody, and nobody's allowed to say anything about that. You should be drummed out of office. You should be kicked out of office. You should be impeached. How about for cheating on your wife? No. No, he's the hero of the right. Now, speaking of that, that brings me to the grotesque politics file. Grotesque. Grotesque. And because it's grotesque and it has to do with conservatism and Republicans, it obviously circulates and fulminates and postulates from Donald Trump. Donald Trump was a keynote speaker at the Concerned Women for America Summit in Washington, D.C. last week, where the president of the Concerned Women for America, Penny, called him, quote, this is what the president of Concerned Women for America called Donald Trump, quote, without question, Donald Trump is the most pro-life president in American history, unquote. That's what Penny said about Donald Trump. Forgetting that Lyndon Johnson, all the presidents were against killing any babies at all, ever, for all of them, all the way back to George Washington. Even John Kennedy was, I mean, except for the abortions he paid for, he was generally against them. So generally, at least publicly, right? But no, Donald Trump is the most pro-life president in American history. Forget George Washington. George Washington can't hold a candle to Donald Trump. For Eisenhower, Eisenhower's a pimple on the on Trump's elbow is all Eisenhower, please. What did he ever do? World War II. Whoop-de-doo. Trump is more. And then now listen to what Donald Trump had to say. As reported by the Floridian, FloridianPress.com. What does Donald Trump have to say about the killing of innocent children? Him being the most pro-life president in American history, according to the Constipated Women for America, Penny. He says, quote, "The radical people on this issue are really the Democrats. Set. They say after 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, even 8 months, even after birth, you're allowed to terminate the baby." Unquote. That's Donald Trump. Very bad impression of Donald Trump. Why do I always sound like a low-level New York gangster when I'm trying to do Donald Trump? He's got like a highbrow Manhattan accent, but I don't know what it is with Trump. So here's what Trump says, that the scandalous thing is that if you're for abortion at 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, can anybody give me nine? Forget nine. How about after birth? Ah. Bada bing, says Donald Trump. That's a really bad guy. He wants to kill those babies even after they're born. And 6 months is bad enough. Hey, I mentioned 5 months. Did you get that? 5 months. These people want to kill babies in 5 months. It's bad. They're bad. Bad guys. They're bad guys. Evil people. He said this on, Don said this on Meet the Press, where the hostess, Kristen, defiantly argued that Democrats as a whole, Mr. Trump, Democrats as a whole are not saying that. Unquote. Which, of course, is her having to admit that, well, some Democrats do say that. In fact, almost all of them. But as a whole, there's one Democrat in Mishawaka, Indiana, who we heard say that she's not for abortion up to 9 months. And so, as a whole, Mr. Trump, your statement is generally inaccurate. So anyway, the Democrats are for killing as many babies as possible at all times, as often as possible. But Mr. Trump, of course, is the most pro-life president in American history, so that when the host asked Don if he would support a 15-week ban on abortion, here's what Don said. Quote, "I would sit down with both sides and I would negotiate something. And we'll end up with peace on this issue for the first time in 52 years. Peace on this. I'll negotiate it. We'll be done with it." That's the most pro-life president in the history of America says he's going to negotiate something with the other side who wants to kill all the babies all the time at all times. And Don's going to bring peace. Peace when there is no peace. Let's see. And then we can check in with Ron DeSantis, because what is the issue of killing children to people like Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump? What is it? Is it a significant issue that weighs on their hearts and minds every night as they get ready for bed and they ponder the fact that millions of innocent people are being slaughtered? No, it's a political issue. They want to win. That, how can I get a point over Ron? How can I get a point over Don? How can I get a point over this hapless host, Christian, on Meet the Press? And how, more importantly, how can we beat those nasty, dirty, rotten Democrats who want to kill babies at 5 months, 6 months, seven? Anybody got eight? Give me eight. I got eight. Over here, I got nine. Wait, I got after birth. Those Democrats, they want to. Did you hear how bad they are? So that's what it is for them. It's just a political issue. For example, Ron DeSantis says, "Protecting an unborn child when there's a detectable heartbeat is something that almost probably 99% of pro-lifers support." So I do, because probably almost like maybe like 99%. So, you know, if 99% are probably maybe, then me too. Get out of here with that. Ron DeSantis, get out of here. What's Penny over at the Constipated Women for America? Get out of here with that. He's the most pro-life president in history. He'll negotiate away the lives of millions of people so that he can declare some kind of political victory and get the votes of hapless morons in stupid red hats. See, with their, all right, I'll just leave that aside. I know I alienate half my audience, but I don't care. So here's what's really going on, ladies and gentlemen, from the death penalty file. A Texas woman was shot and killed trying to help her friend escape what? Escape a prison camp? Escape a prison camp in North Korea? Was it? Was she trying to escape a town being shelled in Ukraine? A Texas woman was shot and killed trying to help her friend escape an abusive relationship. This is from the Charlotte Observer. And folks, an abusive relationship is code word for a sexually immoral relationship. It's a relationship where a woman was shacking up with a really bad guy. What's a really bad guy? Well, any guy who'll shack up with you is a really bad guy. And this guy happened to be even worse because he was also not nice to the girl that he was shacking up with and being horrible to. He was also not nice to her. He was abusive to her physically, psychologically, mentally, emotionally, and in all manner, in all ways. Not only was he shacking up with her and abusing her in that way, treating her like a prostitute, but he was also not nice to her, talked mean to her, and he was hurt her feelings, and he made her feel uncomfortable. And so a woman came to help her friend out of this sexually immoral relationship. Why? Because sexually immoral relationships are dangerous. People get killed. People get abused, and people get killed in sexually immoral relationships. So this woman showed up to help her friend, and she was shot and killed by the deviant scum boyfriend. He is accused of fatally shooting the woman and her dog who showed up to help their friend. Authorities at last report were still looking for the boyfriend as late as just before airtime. I checked on the story. They still haven't found the guy. And if anyone cares to check, which nobody does, sexual immorality is the leading cause of murder in the world, in all of human history, throughout all of human history. It is the number one cause. And in America today, the leading cause of murder is sexual immorality. And if anyone ever decides to stop and pay attention to what's really going on, they'll see. And then there might be some public health implications. Some public health actions, I should say, on the part of the government, because that's a true public health. I wouldn't call it a crisis, but it's certainly a public health issue. The fact that hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands, are murdered every year because of a preventable issue. All right, so from there we go. We're going to go from the frontier to the abyss in two stories, right? From the frontier to the abyss, we have the frontier. From libertyunyielding.com, a 25-year-old man was taken to the emergency room in Jerusalem a few weeks ago. He had been seriously injured in a fall. The trauma team at the hospital diagnosed an unstable spine fracture that put the man at immediate risk of permanent paralysis. And what's even worse is that doctors realized that operating on the man, trying to correct the problem, the doctor himself could end up paralyzing the man because there were delicate structures that were unstable that the doctor would have to move in order to work on other structures that were damaged. And so it's like a no-win situation. It's a terrible, terrible situation that neurosurgeons have faced in the past. And sometimes the guy walks again and sometimes the guy doesn't walk. And a lot of times the doctor feels terrible because he tried his best and he failed. So a neurosurgeon at this particular hospital a few weeks ago used a robot-guided augmented reality-assisted imaging system to image and repair the fractured spine. Augmented reality works by superimposing digital information onto real-world objects to create a 3D experience that allows users like a surgeon to interact with both the physical and digital worlds. And the AR device superimposed the digital information, created a part real, part digital 3D interface in which the surgeon could operate. This minimally invasive technique had never been performed in surgery anywhere in the world ever. And of course, it happens to be in Jerusalem. No surprise there. So the augmented reality system allowed the surgeon to see around delicate tissues without having to move them. And to place tiny screws with precision that simply could not be matched outside of an augmented reality situation. And the patient will walk again. That's the frontier. That's the frontier. We're on the precipice of some of the most amazing advances in all of human history, in medicine, in science, in technology. If we can keep civilization from falling into the hands of the madmen, we're on the verge of solving some of the greatest problems in all of human history. If we can keep from the abyss. Where is the abyss? Well, this past week, it was in Las Vegas. So I'm sorry, the story came out last week. This happened back in August. Two teenagers stole a car and they live streamed it online. What did they do? They ran over a cyclist for fun and live streamed it. The cyclist was retired police chief Andreas Probst. He was run over on purpose by the teenagers who live streamed it and laughed about it, and he died. The Liberty Daily reports that he died shortly after being run over. So they could have just said that the two teenagers killed him, but instead they... Even the Liberty Daily is infected by urinalists. He died shortly after. Well, if they hadn't run over him, he wouldn't have died. That's because they killed him. So they live stream murdering this guy on the air, and the video shows the two teenagers intentionally hit and kill the man. And they laugh about it on their live stream. The story has been quarantined to local media coverage only. The story hasn't made it national until today. Now it's going out nationally. And then the guys at the Liberty Daily, they link to the video of the teenagers live streaming killing this guy, which I think it's sick to link to the video that the kids put up on. I think that's just sick. I don't think you should watch stuff like that. I think you can't unsee things like that. So I wouldn't have linked to it. I didn't watch it. And then the guys at the Liberty Daily report on the comments on Twitter as if that's news. They report on the comments of people on Twitter where they posted the video so that people could watch it. So they report on the comments of ignorant fools. They report on it as if it's meaningful, because why? Why would you report on what people on Twitter say about anything? But they do. Why? Because it fits their partisan game. Here's a comment from Twitter. Here's deep, real deep. It says, "This is the result of soft on crime Democrat policies. Vote them out!" Exclamation point. Vote those Democrats out. Shame on you over at the Liberty Daily for number one, for linking to this sick video. Number two, for reporting on what someone says about the Democrats as if it matters. And number three, not pointing out that the bigger issue is not Democrat and Republican. The bigger issue is the abyss. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, and we're almost through this thing. We're almost through this thing, and that takes us into the abyss, which is in Seattle, at least partially. From the abyss file, we go to Seattle, where a study They did a study. Researchers collected samples from surfaces and air on buses and train cars throughout Seattle's public transportation system. What were they testing for? They were testing for methamphetamine and fentanyl. Why? Well, because there's a lot of it around, apparently. There's enough of it that people are noticing and saying, hey, can you test this surface for fentanyl and methamphetamine? So you know you're in trouble when you're asking to... That's pretty bad. Well, so out of the 78 air samples, they found fentanyl in about 25% of them, and 100% of the samples contain methamphetamine. So now you know why it is that it smells like methamphetamine on the bus. Is because there's methamphetamine on 100% of the buses on the air. And so 100 surface samples, almost half, had detectable fentanyl. And 100% of the had methamphetamine. So the abyss in Seattle is covered with fentanyl and methamphetamine. So I don't know. I guess at least the junkies are having fun on the way down. I don't know how to interpret this except I remember now why I don't ride the bus or the train or anything like that. I mean, at least west of the Mississippi, don't do it, because everyone on the bus or the train west of the Mississippi is pretty much a derelict. And they're probably shooting, smoking, snorting something that you don't want to be in touch with. And so there you go. There's Seattle. Seattle, swirling, circling, sucking around the drain down. And so from Seattle, we go to Milwaukee. So that'd be depressing, right? If you actually had to do that, go from Seattle to Milwaukee. It's like, what did I do wrong? Really? I mean, I was already in Seattle. That's now Milwaukee, for crying out loud. So, yeah, right? I mean, it's like all the fentanyl and all the meth, but you're also freezing half the time. It's all the junkies and derelicts, but then it's also, you know, you got to scrape the ice off the windshield. Okay, so, and from Milwaukee, we are privy to the Queering of America file, where the Milwaukee Police Department, which there is still such a thing. I mean, there's not many men on it, but there is still such an entity. The Milwaukee Police Department has changed its policy after several incidents of police misgendering victims. Misgendering, I said. Now, if there was ever a word made up for a purpose, a nefarious purpose, it's this word, misgendering. How do you misgender? It would seem like if you made a grammatical error in a grammar test, you could be accused of misgendering. But in real life, if you accuse someone of misgendering, it's because you're a Marxist child molester. That's the only reason you use that word. And don't even try to come over here with that. I'll smack you down just as soon as look at you, that word comes out of your mouth. Don't even get near my kids. I'll hit you in the head with a baseball bat. You and your misgendering. Stay over there. But they haven't stayed over there. They're in Minneapolis. And let's see. We have a quote from a Milwaukee Police Department sergeant, deviant LGBTQ community member. Meaning a Marxist pervert sergeant on the Milwaukee Police. That's about all that's left at the Milwaukee Police Department, are a bunch of Marxist pervert, LGBTQ friendly and otherwise deviant scum. And I'm sure there's still a few guys in there just trying to make it to their pension. But anybody with half a brain on the Milwaukee Police Department exited, stage left a couple of 3 years ago. But Guadalupe Velasquez, an LGBT sergeant, she is still there. And she says that we ask her, have you ever seen the police misgendering? And did it hurt anybody's feelings? How do people deal with it? Is it okay, Guadalupe? And Guadalupe said, no, it's not okay. We, as the police, we don't want to make a traumatic experience for a family worse. And when we misgender people, it's so much worse. They're already crying and hurting, and then you misgender and they cry even more. It's so sad. It's terrible. And so because of the concerns of Guadalupe and other Marxist perverts, the Minneapolis Police Department, let's see here, they've changed their policy. Let's see, Sergeant Velasquez went on. It's something that was a topic that led to some uncomfortable conversations for me, where some of the LGBTQ organizations were like, you know, we're not willing to work with the police department anymore because clearly they don't have respect for us. They misgender us, so we don't want to work with them. And the people on the Minneapolis Police Department is like, look, it's not that we don't have respect for you. It's that you're confusing us because you're confused. So we're confused. We don't know if you're a boy or a girl. Why? Because you don't know. So don't hold that over us, for crying out loud. Actually, do hold it over us. Thank you, survey. I have another. So someone at the Minneapolis Police Department should stand up and say, you know what? You people are nuts. That's all. And so forgive me if I don't know if you're a boy or a girl. I don't know what to call you. You don't know what to call yourself on Tuesday. You call yourself something other than what you call yourself on Thursday. Don't get mad at me. You're the one with the mental problem. Get out of my face. But that's not what they said. They said, we're going to change our policy. The department has acknowledged the problem. That's number one in a Marxist humiliation ritual. Number one, you have to acknowledge the problem publicly. And there's been a policy change. The police department will no longer share a victim's gender or race. So ever. They're just not going to say. It's just a don't ask, don't tell policy until the LGBTQs and all the other pervs and the Marxist scum come in and demand. You must tell our you must tell our gender and our race. Otherwise, you disrespect us and we're going to cry and it hurts our feelings so much. You're so mean and terrible. It hurts us so bad. So it'll just be like 2 weeks from now, the Minneapolis Police Department will come out with its new handbook, 94 pages on how to properly gender a crime victim in a report. And the ritual continues to drive anyone with any dignity and self-respect out of the Minneapolis Police Department, leaving the poor hapless citizens of Minneapolis to the wiles of the devil and his minions, who are every time the law retreats, the devil fills the void. Ask the people who live there. Ask the people who live in Portland and Seattle, who are terrified walking down the street. They get what they deserve, bunch of leftist pothead morons. We're going to be nice to the criminals until the criminals like rip your throat out, leave you and your coffee cup on the side of the street bleeding out, steal your wallet so that they can get a hit of whatever. Yeah, good luck with all that. All right. Now, speaking of that, we go to the death penalty file, where a convicted killer who should have been put to death 3 days after he was convicted instead was in jail. And he then escaped and he's been on the run out in Pennsylvania for the last couple of weeks. It's been headline stories all over, rolling lockdowns, widespread fear, terror in the community. Fat old guys rolling out with their shotguns, acting like they're going to go find this guy. So, which is fine. I have nothing against this. Probably better that the fat aging farm guy rolls out with his shotgun. It's probably the most activity he's had in years. Good for him. So anyway, this guy was arrested at April 19th, 2021 for killing his girlfriend. But for some reason, it's taken over 2 years to convict him. And so what should have happened a couple of years ago, the guy should have been convicted. Well, if he was convicted, which he was, he should have been executed 2 years ago. But instead, he's in jail, waiting for the overburdened justice system to convict him. And so he ends up breaking out of jail and basically terrorizing a significant portion of the Pennsylvania population for a period of weeks. And you know what? The people in Pennsylvania, they're getting what they deserve. Yeah, they're getting what they deserve. That's what you deserve. You don't know the difference between right and wrong, and you don't know how to treat criminals. If you do that long enough, eventually you end up terrorized, hiding in your house, afraid for your life. And then finally, that might get your attention, and you'll start realizing what needs to be done. Maybe. So, from there, let's go to the new normal file out in Las Vegas, where it's more of the abyss. So Las Vegas is where the two teenagers live stream the murder of a bicyclist. And meanwhile, Caesar's Palace has paid $15 million to some teenage hackers who've also paralyzed the MGM Resorts infrastructure, their IT infrastructure. And so who cares? Couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch of guys. That's brilliant. So you have a culture out in Las Vegas that worships pleasure and deviancy and corruption. And so now the generation that they've raised is now stealing, robbing them blind, holding them hostage. And I think it's hilarious. So I could care less. And they paid the money. Meanwhile, out in West Texas, we've got piles and piles of wind farm waste. Wind farm waste? What is that, Doug? I thought wind farms were green and wonderful. And that everything, there was always rainbows and butterflies. You know, and then the occasional bird gets chopped up. But otherwise, it's all candy canes and butterflies and rainbows and the beautiful wind farms out in West Texas. Well, what happens is the windmills, they exceed their productive life and they become obsolete and they get decommissioned. And then what's supposed to happen when they get decommissioned is they're supposed to be properly disposed of. But like so many parts of the leftist pipe dream the Marxist deviants sell you, it's all a lie. And so what's happening is all these chunks of decommissioned windmills are piling up out in fields in Texas and in Kansas, and rattlesnakes are moving in, and the discarded turbines occupy acres and acres and acres of land outside of Sweetwater, Texas, and they're just giant dens for rattlesnakes and mosquito-breeding hotbeds. And so the people in Texas are looking around and wondering, what's going on? I thought this green dream was a promise, was a wonderful promise, and everything was going to be wonderful. And it turns out it was all a lie, and you've got giant piles of garbage stacking up around your town where the rattlesnakes and the mosquitoes breed. And you know what? You're getting what you deserve. You're getting what you deserve, and once it hurts enough, you'll start to pay attention out there in Texas and everywhere else. What else do I... Oh, Walmart. Let's check in with Walmart, where they finally figured out a way. It looks like they have figured out a way, or at least they're going to investigate a means of solving the problem of the rampant shoplifting and crime at inner city department stores like Walmart. That's right. An Atlanta-based Walmart is going to reopen one of their locations with some major upgrades. That's right. First, a pharmacy. Yeah, that's pretty good, right? You want to have that. A grocery store attached to the Walmart is one of the big upgrades for the new Atlanta area Walmart. As it was shut down due to rampant crime and shoplifting. Well, they're opening up a facelift, a pharmacy, a grocery store, and a police substation in the Walmart. They're going to have armed police officers stationed in the Walmart. Shazam! Why didn't I think of that? Every police department in the country will be now looking to Walmart to subsidize a substation so that when the organized shoplifting goes down, the police can be right there on site. And so that's all it takes, folks, to have shopping centers. We just need armed men standing around, you know, like Guatemala. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's all we need. We just need to live in an armed, barbed-wired camp all the time. And then we can have freedom. We can have freedom to do whatever we want and to declare ourselves whatever gender we want and to love whoever we want. We can have whatever we want. you know, as long as we stay on this side of the barbed wire and the guy with the gun over there has the, you know, the gun over there, so that just in case. And we'll be free. All right, let us. Oh, Tim Ballard is he's the ex-Department of Homeland Security agent. I hate that, ex-Department of Homeland Security. He's a federal agent who, according to the movie Sound of Freedom, he rescued all these kids out of slavery. He's apparently a decent guy at the very least. You know, not wanting to see kids sold into slavery. That's, I mean, it's not a high bar, but we'll take it. He's a fairly decent guy. He's now mulling a run for Senate out in the state of Utah, mulling a run for a Senate seat being vacated by Mitt Romney, who we couldn't wait to see him go, for crying out loud. But Tim Ballard says, quote, "I've been asked by a lot of influential people to throw in the Senate race." He said in an interview with the despicable lowlife Sean Spicer, political hack, a net negative, a tick on society, Sean Spicer over on the Newsmax network. Let's see. Tim Ballard says he's been solicited by influential people. He says he's very seriously considering running for a seat in the United States Senate, says Tim Ballard, who we thought was a decent guy. Why would you do that, Tim? Why do you want to run for Senate? The Senate is one of the institutions fueling the abuse of children on every level. Every member of the Senate is, as at the very least, they're a political prostitute. At the worst, they're involved in some of the stuff you were trying to stop, Tim. How could you do that, Tim? Don't run. Tim, don't run. Don't go there. It's beneath you, Tim. So that's all I got. That's the Weekly Worldview for this week. Ladies and gentlemen, should the Lord tarry, will return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.